Thank you.
For you in?
Huh. Well, I don't know what you and Hubert are going to think about that. He's apparently got an idea in his head that could make pretty good sense if Hubert's willing to pull his staff together and put somebody in authority there. But I don't know whether he will or not. Now, if he does do that, the three names of people, well, four names of people who are immediately available would be Cisco, Cleveland, Bolin, and McGee. There are some pluses and minuses to all of them, but any one of the four could actually handle a job for the next 3 months. This General Assembly, I think, is going to be relatively low-key after a flare-up of debate on Czechoslovakia and a flare-up of debate possibly on Vietnam. So I think it's really the Security Council aspect of it that is most important rather than the General Assembly.
I had this reaction. I told him that I appreciated the things that motivated him, and I thought it was very unselfish and willingness to refuse to take any position under the Humphrey administration, and I don't know how much chance he, how likely that is, but that just to go and help the man, but I thought he ought to think about what real reaction it's going to have and whether that reaction is going to be a plus for the Democrats or not.
Uh-huh.
My own judgment is it'll be a big minus.
Uh-huh.
I think at first thing they'll say, well, the President Rusk, they'd recommend a man, pick him. Call him back to cabinet status job. Most important thing in the world is peace. And he flies a cup in a few weeks and gets off here in a political campaign. And that it just sounds erratic. It must be he's deeper than that. So then they'll start the doves, all the papers will come out and say, well, it means that the last voice of reason and sanity is gone. Ball got it pretty well scattered around Georgetown and around the world that he was the only dove in the administration. And now if he goes up there and stays a few weeks and resigns, about the time they get worn out quoting Goldberg, they'll start quoting him in Hanoi and other places. So I would think it would help the Republican more than anything he could do to show the Democrats not very stable and they're erratic and their men can't get along and bound to be something beneath the surface. No man would leave the Lehman Brothers to go in and help a big job like this and then just jerk and jump off. If he wants to help him be effective, he can talk to him every evening and be a lot more effective than he can getting in there and arguing with Larry O'Brien. Humphrey has turned his campaign completely over to Larry O'Brien. He said, don't ask me, ask Larry. And my judgment is that Ball will just get himself in a mess with a bunch of folks in there, and I think he can talk to Humphrey every night. Maybe if he have some influence, but I don't think he can be effective. I think if he does this, he'll be explaining all the time why he left, what the differences are, what he and the President fell out about, why did he take the job in the first place. And so I think summarized that first, he can't be effective if he does it. Second, it'll leave the appearance of being erratic for the administration, for the President, for the Secretary of State. I told him you gave me a list of names, that this fellow was top on him. I picked the first and I asked him to take it. He came right back in the day and said he would take it. Now he takes it and works a few weeks, and before the ball game's gone, he's been out and been down to Florida and batting practice. Little spring training, but before he's expert on the Middle East, we sent him over there. Just before we get ready to lay the cards on the table while he flies a cup. It just doesn't look like stability to me. I think it'll make the UN, it'll be a blow to them. I think it'll mean the impression that the job doesn't mean much, fella. Just walks out on it, kind of like he's sold real silk socks for 2 or 3 months and wasn't making enough money and just quit it and went something else. And I think it...
Have you had a chance to talk with him this morning?
Nope.
I think it'd be important for you to go over some of these things with him, unless you want me to do it first.
I told Walt to talk to Clifford and then talk to you,
right,
so I could have a well-rounded view to give me his view too. And I just hung up, and I thought before I got out of the house, I don't believe I'll come back until early in the morning. I believe then that I will leave word that we'll have a Security Council Wednesday, and then you and Clifford come in afterwards.
Right.
Just go out separate doors, but you go in Jim Jones's office and let Clifford go down to Califano, and 5 minutes later y'all come on in. We'll let the rest of them go on home. We'll just abandon our Tuesday lunch.
Right.
That'll give you a little time to try to figure out what we ought to do with the Phantoms and Yarring. I'm going to have to move because we just keep this on the front page. The first week they announced that we'd made up our mind not to sell it, and then some way or other, UPI got a story last week that we decided we had to sell them now. And really, I haven't made any recent decision. In January, December, I made a decision I was going to sell them before I went out of office. That just a question of when I could get the best price for them. And I want to work up that price, make it a reasonable one. I think we ought to say to Israel, now you give us your boundaries, put something on paper here, and then we'll move with the Phantoms. But I think you ought to give some thought. You and Clark ought to try to get together on this, and the three of us can, four of us can talk about it. And another thing that worries me a good deal, I read, I guess, 30 pages of stuff yesterday, this thin type ticker stuff from Oslo and from Vance and from Rostow and from everybody. And I was under the impression our proposal to Hanoi involved three things, the DMZ and the government of Vietnam and shelling the cities.
Right.
And kind of de-escalating the conflict. When they started hemming them up the other day, Friday, and raising hell, said, now what else do you want besides the government of Vietnam? We said DMZ. Well, now what else is it? Well, we never said we ain't gonna tell. It looked like me, we just forgot about the other steps completely, and I certainly don't want somebody coming in and saying, well, by implication, we thought that you were bored here, and Averill's made a deal now, and it's really too late to back out.
I thought he was very clear when he left here on these 3 points.
Well, I didn't think that reporting to me, if you'll see what they sent me Friday, they just, they've eliminated everything except maybe some action, the DMZ. I don't know how effective that is. I want to be sure that Buzz and his people agree with it.
Right.
And second, the whole thing was on government of Vietnam.
Right.
Now, I think those two are essential. I think we ought to also see the one thing I don't want to do, Dean, I don't want another 37-day pause that you and I were both against, but we got talked into. And if we have to go down with the flag flying, we want to be the two. I don't want to do it by surrender or by retreat between now and January the 20th. Now,
right,
if we can get a deal that'll stand up against all these Nixons and Hellraisers that talk about Yalta, well and good, but I want to be damn sure it's something that stands up. I don't want something that's jello and will be out from under me and will make me look like I'm a nut and a fool and that they just outwitted me.
Right.
So you watch that traffic pretty carefully. I'll depend on you, not on Nick and Averill, and be damn sure that they don't leave the impression that all we want is a little sweet talk on DMZ and let South Vietnamese come to London or somewhere close to Paris. Tell them we got to really protect our men and see that they are de-escalating if we de-escalate.
Right.
And it's got to be reciprocity, even if we don't use the word, or they've got to have reason to believe the Soviet or some of the rest of them.
Right. Mr. President, I will follow that very carefully, and Walt and I will keep in close touch on it, too. Further point, I don't want to add to your burdens this morning, but we're having some real trouble with the Spanish about renegotiating the Spanish bases.
Yes.
They're just asking for the moon.
Yes.
And they're being very harsh and arrogant, and if any other delegation would act like they were acting, I would have thrown them out of town this weekend. 15 minutes. Think there's no point even talking about this. And they came back later, but they're just acting terribly. Now, they may be gambling on the next administration, and they figure that if they cancel this, start the 6 month cancellation period running now, that somehow this would help Nixon and hurt our fellow. I don't know, but I'm meeting with the foreign minister again late this afternoon. They're trying now to put up some kind of ultimatum about time factors. Because Franco is meeting with his cabinet tomorrow, and then he's going to go out of town. Well, hell, he doesn't have to go out of town if he considers these bases important. But we may be in a situation where we want to consider saying to them, all right, if we can't seem to get together here, let's extend the existing agreement for 1 year. And let both sides think about it.
Yes, I believe that's all right. We talked about that the other day. I'm for that.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we better list everything of this nature, because the time's going to come in the next week. Humphrey's going to run like a turkey, and Nixon may get overboard a little bit. And I think that probably sometime latter part of this week or next week, we ought to find good and justifiable reasons to bring them up to date.
Right.
And I think one thing we could say, now everybody's trading on y'all's campaigning and foreign policy.
Right.
We expect that. We know you're not to blame for it, but we think you ought to know it.
Right.
And every damn widow woman that's got wants a pension, she's coming in making her demands pretty high because she thinks we're in the middle of a campaign. Here's what the Spanish are doing, and here's what the Germans are doing, and here's what the others are doing, and so on and so forth. What do you think about your Soviet friends these days?
Well, it looks a little chancy right now, quite frankly. I think that they're being very tough and menacing, and I've been interested in finding out whether we're going to get any reply back from Dobrynin, but we haven't had one.
What do you think about your friend Kennan yesterday?
Well, he's quite a hawk in Europe.
Sure is. I thought he was a more balanced fellow than that. Is he that erratic?
He's always been a bit on the erratic side, Mr. President. He's a good fellow to have around for interesting conversation.
Well, wasn't he the fellow we had in Paris running around over there? Who was this fellow, that former diplomat that was negotiating with these commies?
No, it wasn't Kennan. You mean during your administration?
Yes. 3 or 4 months ago, we had some fellow. That was a former...
You're not thinking of Kissinger?
Yes, I guess that's who it is.
That's Kissinger.
Yes.
George Kennan is always good to have around for conversation, but when you come to the point of decision, he isn't much help.
Yeah.
Well, now, you said something about Wednesday. What are your thoughts about coming back up here?
I thought I'd come in tomorrow,
right.
But instead of having the luncheon tomorrow, instead of y'all coming over there, I'd give you tomorrow to kind of get your house in order today and tomorrow.
Well,
we've got to get this ball thing in shape, and then if you and Clark don't have a conflict, we go to Security Council.
Right.
And then instead of having the luncheon, you all could just drop in for 10 or 15 minutes to clear up anything that the three of us need to talk about after.
Paul was planning to see
Humphrey tonight.
Humphrey tonight. So you think I would suggest to him you postpone that for a couple of days?
I would say so. Tell him that we're going to come back there tomorrow. I'm returning, and that you and Clark are analyzing this thing, that these questions have been raised.
Right.
That first, can he be more effective over with Larry O'Brien, these politicians, or can he do it talking direct to Humphrey every night?
Right.
Informally, he's there, and he's getting all the intelligence, and we'd work with him very closely, and we'd tell Humphrey to work with him very closely. I would.
Right.
And I think if he leaves, he'll just have to explain that there's a big bust up, and I think they'll use it for propaganda purposes.
Right.
I think the New York Times and the Doves will. I think Inouye will. They're still quoting Goldberg every morning.
Right.
I think the Congress will. And I think it'll hurt Humphrey and hurt the Democrats, because it'll show we're not stable and a man can't stay in the cabinet over a few weeks.
All right, fine.
And tell him that we will communicate with him then. Tell him we'll try to communicate with him not later than Wednesday at noon, and see if he can't see Humphrey the Wednesday night instead of Monday night.
All right, fine. All right.